this week on the Time Bat Show.
Gamer weeb dating service. Well, do you think there's one?
They've got one for farmers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 110 of the Time Bat Show. I'm one of your hosts, Time Aces.
And I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
And this is episode 110. Nice, even number. Multiple of 10. Good number.
And next episode, we're going to be on episode 101. That's a triple dash trifecta.
The inaugural first couple minutes of the episode where we talk about how cool the number of episode we're on is. How are you doing this week, Bat Snacks?
I'm doing good. You know, speaking of cool episode numbers, I was trying to back up some of our episodes today to Google Drive because we've never done that and we could potentially just lose everything.
That's true. Yeah.
So, and I noticed that a lot of our really good episodes occur on really cool numbers.
Oh, yeah. Like, give me an example.
So, the only example I that stood out to me right away was episode 12, which is one of my favorite numbers, is the Horse Matrix, Do you remember the Horse Matrix?
I remember the Horse Matrix.
That was a live episode. We were together, I believe, when that was recorded.
Oh.
Remember? I think.
I remember the topic, but.
I went over to your house, I believe. Oh. Was that the Horse Matrix? I don't remember.
I don't remember if it was.
It was about horses in the Matrix, though. It was real good. All I remember is about the early episodes is, like, we talked about the Horse Matrix, there's one we talked about cheese, and then there's one I recorded in person with you where it sounded like I was in, like a cellar, like, underground or something. Do you remember that one?
I remember. Like, we were so excited going into it, because I that was the one where I brought all my stuff to Austin, right?
No, I think I came to your place.
Oh, that was the first live one. Yeah.
I was at your old apartment.
Yeah, and I was like, hello, how are you today? And you could barely hear what I was saying.
We spent like 30 minutes trying to set it up, and eventually we just decided to put it on a TV table and just wing it, and it sounded like you were down the hallway in the bathroom.
The old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
But it worked out. How are you doing? Anything exciting going on for you this week?
Well... I've been watching GDQ this week.
GDQ, yeah.
Awesome Games Done Quick 2019.
Mm-hmm. So have I. What a great event. It's just so entertaining.
Yeah.
We went, like, a couple years ago. We need to go back at one point.
Yeah, we do.
My only worry about going back is, like, if we went back, like, next year, let's say, or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, when we went the first time, we were both in our 20s still. Right? See where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be like an old man at GDQ. You know what I mean? It's like, look at this old dude. Like, what is he doing here?
Do you know what my worst, like, fear is of going to a GDQ?
Tell me.
All right, you know that audience cam where you get to the entire world gets to see you and then you inevitably get a nickname?
Yep.
We were fortunate enough to have the nickname, like, Lad or Bros or something.
I don't remember what our nickname was.
The nightmare is being labeled as a dad.
Which happens a lot.
Yeah.
If you're, like, slightly older, you're dad.
Yeah. If you're a tank in the Final Fantasy series, you're dad GDQ.
If you're like 35 or older, or you look 35 or older, you're a dad. Like, it doesn't matter. You're a dad.
Yeah.
Like Barrett's age in Final Fantasy, right?
Yeah, so. Or Auron in Final Fantasy X.
Right. If you're like over the age of 30, you're just like, oh, you're an old dad, man.
So you must be a dad. But I think the reality of that situation is, why would a dad be alone at age
that doesn't make any sense.
It's like, hey honey, I'm going to this video game thing alone for a week, take care of little Jimmy, bye. And then he's just there. Like, that would be really weird.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I still think we should go.
Yeah.
My favorite part of GDQ, and it's not even the video games, it's, like, the weird culture that surrounds GDQ. And it's this fun mishmash of Twitch, which is, like, a terrible community. But it's, like, a fun, terrible community, right?
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
It's a mishmash of Twitch culture and, like, this weird culture that grows out of the speedrunning community, which is mm-hmm. not really video games. I mean, it is, but it's like also, it's like the weirdos of video game culture, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like
if you have, you know, people that don't play video games.
Yeah.
You know how they view people that play video games?
Yes.
People that play video games, that's how they view speedrunners. Like,
There's a tier.
It's tiered.
That is, like, the perfect analogy. Because, like, they're all weird, and they don't make a lot of sense sometimes. But it's fun. It's a lot of fun, to be around it.
You know, I had a blast when we went, and we got along with everybody there. Like, I feel like those are my people.
We did. I don't know if I'd go far to say that those are my people, but I definitely got along with them in that I enjoyed being part of it.
Yeah.
Even so, if I felt like I was an outsider, spectating it was fun for me. Like, I enjoyed being part of the community, if only Absolutely. Just to see what it was. But yeah, I would definitely go back. It's a fun group. I want to, and I think I talked about this to you, because last time we went, there's like these fun, awkward social situations because everyone's in this community, but they're all like not very good at socializing because they're all kind of nerds or whatever. So like there's these weird situations that come up that I find fun and unique and weird. And like that's part of the experience, just like exploring these weird dynamics, right? Mm. And there was like this GDQ Discord, I remember. that people that were a part of the event could join to like set up like, oh, there's this run happening in this room, you know, like a bulletin board kind of thing. And right. I remember us like trying to social engineer the Discord together. do you remember this? Are you still there?
Oh, 1 second. I think my mic might have dropped. Give me 1 second.
That was perfect.
All right.
And we're back. Sorry, my internet went down because I'm great.
It's all good.
We were talking about GDQ, though.
Yeah. So we were talking about GDQ culture and how there was this bulletin board service.
Discord,
and how we were trying to meet up with people. Yes. And, you know, kind of every time we did, it was a little awkward.
And my favorite part is we tried to social engineer the bulletin board. Do you remember trying to do that? Do you remember that?
What were we doing exactly?
So this is like my favorite memory from GDQ. Other than the night we got really drunk and came up with the best idea in the world that we'll never share. But there was one part where the Discord wasn't getting used a lot. And because it's a bunch of like shy nerds, right? So we were trying to organize a group to go out to the bar that we found the night before and like have a drink.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the problem was that nobody knew each other, but we knew each other. So we could be like, oh, we're both going out. Let's go. If someone wants to join, meet us there. But then no one would do that because they would feel like left out because they don't know us too.
Right. That's a weird thing.
It is a weird thing.
Meeting up with a stranger.
It's weird meeting up with two strangers that know each other, especially because then it's oh, I'm the third wheel. So what we did.
Is
we pretended not.
I remember.
So what we did was we pretended not to know each other on Discord. And you said, hey, I was thinking to go into this bar later tonight at like 9 p.m. Anyone want to tag along? And then like me, like 5 minutes later. On the Discord, I responded.
We timed it. We were sitting in our hotel room
because it didn't want. I didn't want to make it look too manufactured. So like 5 minutes later, I was like, "Oh, hey, dude, yeah, thanks for the offer. I'm totally down. I'll come." And then, like a couple minutes later, you responded like, "Cool. Anyone else want to come? Meet us there." And we ended up getting like I don't know, like 8 or 9 people to like come. Mm-hmm. And it's totally because we pretend. pretended.
Yeah, we totally engineered that. And you know what? We had a blast. It was fun. And we didn't have a blast, but it was fun.
I had more fun setting
yeah.
setting it up than actually doing it. But it was fun. Like, I would never have been able to go out with people otherwise. Because I didn't know anyone else at GDQ. And, like, I'm sure people come in groups, but... for the people that don't, they probably want to hang out with folks. And
right. That's what I was going to say. Like, maybe it's not so much that, you know, just nerds are shy and, you know, that's why they can't socialize. Like, maybe it's some of that. But also, you know, you're going – if you go to GDQ, you either go alone or with a group. And you tend to, like, stick with your group if you go.
Yeah, you definitely stick with your group. And if your group is doing something else or if you don't have a group, you don't have anyone to hang out with, really, unless you meet someone there, which, you know...
It's hard, because everyone has a group.
Everyone's got a group, or they're alone. So we were trying to, like, because we were a group of only two, right? We were trying to kind of bridge that gap. And be like, yes, you're welcome here. But we had to pretend that we were just organically...
I just remember, that's funny.
I love social engineering. It's so fun to do that kind of stuff. So if we do go again, I know there's like a speedrunning Discord. I know it exists. They probably talk all the time about how speedrunning strats work. I want to get in on that so I can understand all the drama in the community before I go to GDQ. So there can be so much fun, stupid, you know.
Gossiping,
yeah.
I live for that. Oh, we had so much fun doing that. Because, you know, when we went, we had... this community wasn't at the event, but we were part of like a internet gaming community, and we spent the whole time just talking so much. But
the community was watching GDQ, the community we were part of. Mm-hmm. So it was like, it was an active discussion because they were all like, oh, I can see you guys at GDQ, blah, blah, blah. And we just gossiped about them the whole time. It was so much fun.
It was
a good time. Anyway, GDQ, I enjoy it a lot. I like the idea of it. Like, it's a good cause, and weird people come together to do weird things.
To do good things, too.
Yeah, and then people on the stream get named, because Twitch names them. Like, you sent me a link of a guy today that was, like, dancing or something? I don't remember
Dance Dad.
Right. And that's, like, his thing. He's just like... And, you know, he's like playing that up now. That
of course, it, yeah.
You know? But we had a thing. We had, like, 15 minutes of fame. When we were there, do you remember?
Yeah, I think we were at different points. I was iPad lad.
Right.
And then you were bongo bro.
I don't remember why I was that, though.
Because you were drumming on your leg.
Oh, see. I twitch and jitter a lot, so that's probably what happened. See, so we were famous for like 15 minutes. Maybe not even, probably 5. But, you know, that's what it is, right? So that's okay. But anyway, yeah, GDQ's going on. How long is it until Friday or
It's a week long. I think it ends Sunday.
Sunday.
I think that's the final day.
Anyway.
Of the runs I've watched at GDQ so far, there's one I do want to talk about. Not so much the run, but the game was So Echo the Dolphin was run. And this is a game from my childhood.
It's a good game.
Yeah. Back in the day, my cousin owned this game. And I never got to play it because it was too hard. And she was really good at it. So I would just watch her play. Well, last year, we kind of got together and beat it together.
Who did?
Me and her. We like,
oh, nice.
Like, over the course of a month, we just got together. And because it's one of those games where you type in passwords to continue where you left off.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. And, man, that game has a weird plot.
It really does. I remember... Isn't there something like with aliens at the end of the game?
So, let's go over the plot of this game real quick, because it's really cool. And
it's,
you know,
bizarre.
As far as I'm concerned, it could be true.
Okay. So
the story of Echo the Dolphin is, it leaves off, it's a sequel to the first one. Mm-hmm. In the first one, you defend your pod from aliens. Mm-hmm. In this one, the aliens have gone back in time to destroy the Asterite, which is a sentient DNA molecule thing.
Why? Why do they want to kill it?
I don't know. That's not clear.
Okay.
So anyway, you go back in time, you reconstruct the Asterite, like, from before it was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow you go into the future. I'm probably messing this up. And in the future, the ocean has a mind and it connects all the oceans together with waterways in the sky. It's like the life stream from Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like a sentient mind ocean.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. And you fight the aliens again in the future to prevent them from destroying the asteroid again.
In the past.
Yeah.
Like Terminator, kind of.
Yeah, it's like Terminator reverse. Back to the Future. Anyway, at the end of the game, the final level is you finally destroy the Vortex Queen. She's the queen of the aliens.
Yeah.
And in order to keep herself from being destroyed, she goes back in time one more time in her weakened state because you beat her.
What?
And she, like, merges with crabs, and that's how we have modern arthropods.
Like, they explain that because you defeated her in the future. She went back in time and made
crabs. And that's why we have crabs.
Duh. So, here's the cool thing about that. You can't disprove that that didn't happen.
No, that could have happened in the future.
That's the way it could have worked.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot Echo had such a weird story.
That's so weird.
I remember the first one because I remember the weird alien thing. I was like, this is weird. I thought this was going to be a dolphin game. But, yeah, and then the second one, I guess, gets really weird.
Yeah. If you think about it, crabs and crustaceans and stuff like that don't really look like anything else on Earth. They look like aliens. So no, maybe.
They definitely do.
Maybe there's something there.
Man, they don't really make games that weird anymore.
Yeah.
You know? They do, but they're not. Like, that was like a popular game. You know, that was like a flagship game for the Sega. Like, they don't make games that are supposed to sell well that weird anymore. They just don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, that was marketed as, like, the friendly dolphin, you know, game.
And there's, like, oh, there's aliens, there's time travel. It's like, what? It's like, yep, that's how it is. And you're like, okay. They don't make games like that, though. No. I like that weirdness, though.
Me too.
I need to replay that at some point.
It's ludicrously hard and unfair.
I remember that about the first one. I don't think I could ever beat it, but that's cool. I'll have to watch the... Is the run worth watching?
Yeah, especially if you've played it before, because the guy, of course, he just, like, blazes through it. He knows the whole game by heart.
GDQ, it's fun time. But, so yeah, if you haven't watched it yet, there's three or four more days of GDQ. I would recommend going on and checking it out, because it is pretty cool. Pretty cool. So what else is going on in your life, Bat Sox? Anything exciting? How's your New Year resolutions going?
Not great so far.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's okay.
What was your resolution again? It was like,
It was to be more confident and just kind of generally be nicer to myself than I am.
Confident and nicerness, yeah. I gotcha. Well, it's a slow process.
Yeah.
Mine was to be more direct. And not really going at all yet, but you know, I got plenty of year left. We're fine. We'll get there.
Yay.
You gotta be, what I've learned in life is you gotta be patient with yourself.
Yes.
More than anybody else. Patience is hard with yourself, and you have to be patient with yourself.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is a lesson I learned recently, because, you know, about the time you hit 30 or whatever. As a kid, you're like, oh, I'm gonna do all these things. I'm gonna, like, be a better person, like, be a person I'm not. Like, a lot of people strive to be, like, different than they are.
Yeah, you know, Superman.
Yeah, I'm gonna be so different. It's like, no, you're gonna be yourself, because you are yourself. That's who you are. Like, you can't really change that aspect about your core fundamental way you are. So you just gotta be patient. You can improve, but you can't fundamentally be like, oh, I'm going to, like, yesterday I was a lonely loser, and today I'm yeah, it's like a super outgoing, you know, charming man. It's like, it just doesn't, that's not how it works.
Yeah, you know? And maybe it's harder these days because, you know, you see all of your own errors in yourself, and you don't see anybody else's errors, and the way it is now, with, you know, everybody has their doppelganger social media identity where they only post the best stuff about themselves. The best
things that they do.
And, you know, you go and you look at that stuff and it's like, man, you know, look how great they are. Wow.
Man, they've got their shit together.
They're on a mountain. Look at that mountain.
The sun's there. They're camping under the stars in Nigeria or whatever, you know, Peru or wherever, you know, they are.
Yeah.
Like, wow, they got it figured out. But maybe they don't. So I think, for me, it's refreshing when people on social media post about their failures. And
like, oh, I love mistakes. That, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, buddy, me too. I screwed something up too. Good work.
There All my go. Favorite people on social media are very imperfect at being on the internet. Do you know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. I follow them because it's not that I want to see people fail, but I want to get reminded that, like, yeah, there are people out there just like me that they're doing the best that they can. Sometimes they do great. Sometimes they do bad. Like, that's how it is. Like, I don't want to follow anyone that's just like, look at all the success, you know, because that's not. That's not reality.
Yeah.
It's not reality. But anyway, the New Year's resolution thing, it's slow and steady. You know, you got to be patient with yourself. You got to take baby steps to improve. You're not just going to be, boom, overnight, you're a completely different person. You know, so that's what I've learned.
You know, there's been something in the news recently where some people are trying to make some shortcuts to become better people real fast.
And
they're
doing
it in a really scary way.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
This was in a newspaper in Pittsburgh, and I saw it on...
This is a great segue, by the way.
It is. I saw this on Google News or something, and there are these people that... They... how do you... I don't even like saying this.
Just say it straight.
They take blood from people that are younger from them, and they put it in their body to get younger.
It's like youth serum.
Youth blood that they...
Vampirism.
Yeah. And the scary thing is, apparently it works.
That's creepy. Are the young people consenting to this? Or are they just, like, secretly doing it or whatever?
I don't know. I think that's a good question.
I hope it's consensual. You know, like, they're like, yeah, I'll pay you $500 for a pint of your blood. And they're like, okay, you know, it's still creepy either way, though.
Yeah, I don't think you should do it because, all right, here's the problem. Even if you do it and it works, like, if that works, there has to be someone that's doing it in a really, really unethical way. Do you know what
like
I mean?
In an aggressive way.
Like, there has to be, like, a real vampire out there that will do anything to get blood to
stay
young.
So this is, like, the plot of a bunch of movies, I'm pretty sure. I've heard this before, you know, this, like, concept. I didn't know it was real, and it's really discouraging that it is real. But, yes, there's always, like, a guy that's like, I must be young again or whatever, and he's, like, 60 or 70.
Yeah.
And he's, like, draining, like, 15-year-olds to get...
Yeah.
Blood, and he's like trying to be youthful forever and ever and ever, and there reaches a point where like he has to keep doing it at an exponentially faster rate in order to like keep youngifying himself or whatever,
right?
And that's messed up because that inevitably leads to like killing people,
you know? Yeah, let's say he I mean, you can only get so much blood, I imagine. Like, I've never tried.
It's true. I've never tried either.
Yeah, like when you can't, you know, get your fix of blood, maybe you go to some shady places to get it that are not getting it in a way.
I guarantee you that there's a black market for this kind of thing too.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, there's a black market for blood transfusions in general because I think there's a lot of medical red tape there. But there's probably also a black market for not even transfusion blood, like blood that you just want from young people to like be, you know, be younger or whatever.
Yeah.
And it probably goes on, and this is a depressing topic, but it probably goes hand in hand with the human trafficking.
Yeah, it paints like a really scary image where like you have people farms that are there for blood. Yep. Gross.
Yep. It's really depressing, but I bet there's at least part of that terrible hellscape fiction we painted is real.
Yeah, scary stuff.
It is scary. I don't ever want to I don't ever want to know.
That's
more
gross.
Like, I, just thinking about it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's people will always want to like live forever, though. There's always going to be that guy or that gal that like is obsessed with you know the fountain of youth, and they'll go to any length to do it. And you know, blood is kind of that thematic Even if it doesn't work, but it's like thematically, it's
like it's symbolic. Blood is like life, right?
Yeah. So even if it doesn't work, it might be like a placebo thing. It's like, oh yes, I have young blood in me, and I feel more vibrant and alive. And then they like have to do more and more before they feel anything. You know, it's like a drug almost. It's
yuck.
It's so creepy though. If we're on the topic of like really disturbing future dystopia stuff.
I know where you're going. No, let's go. I love this.
So I read this comment. Someone was talking about, you know, politics and how terrible it is right now. And they were like, eventually, one day, because Republicans control a lot of the government right now, right?
Yes.
So I was reading this post about politics, and some guy was like, you know, we have a chance, like, there's potential to improve, and we can, like, we can take it back, and blah, 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 blah. And there was a line, and it said, eventually, Democrats are going to control both chambers again. And what he means is, like, the House of Representatives, you know, and Congress, blah, 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 blah. Like, they're going to control the majority again. And he used the word both chambers. Me, because I have this inclination to swap words to make sentences sound cooler. Like, we can talk about this later, but this happens to me, like, all the time. My brain's like, that's not interesting enough. Let me switch that up. I read the sentence as, obviously, one day, Democrats will control birth chambers again. And, like, I immediately read it, and I messaged it to you. I was like, I read this as Democrats control birth chambers, and I'm glad that you have such a mind, because you immediately knew that.
Yeah.
What I was talking about, the implications of that.
Yeah.
But
my immediate message back was, so now I'm imagining the implications of either U.S. political party controlling birth chambers.
And then I had this amazing idea for this actual thing that could happen, which is very scary. And I don't think this has ever been talked about in the history.
We've talked about it on this show before.
I don't know.
If we have.
Basically, you have two political parties, right? And they're locked in an eternal struggle of trying to one-up each other and trying to win. Now, we don't have any other political parties. Well, we do, but they don't matter, which is a sad and unfortunate, a different topic. But we have these two parties that are locked in a struggle. They're trying to win voters. The only way they can do that is convince people to vote for them. And they also have to convince the other side to switch sides. So it's like, it's marketing. It's all it is, right? It's basically one giant marketing thing. It's like, who do you want to vote for? We'll do this and we'll do that. But in the future, if we have like cloning technology or birthing technology, you could potentially see both political sides owning parts of like birth chambers where people are born, in such that they can generate more humans that will vote either Democrat or Republicans.
Yeah.
So basically, the Democrats birth people to have more Democrat voters. The Republicans birth people to have more Republican voters. And obviously, they indoctrinate them either way. Yeah. And then they are the new political currency in the nation. It's not about marketing. It's about, can I produce more children now? So that in 18 years, when they can vote, we can still control the government.
It's yeah.
like the most zero sum end game kind of concept that I can think of for the future of yeah. U.S. politics, but it's kind of amazing.
I can add some plausibility to that theory, though. So, for one, like if you have gene editing technology and can make perfect humans, why would you have natural births anymore?
Yeah.
Does it even make sense to do that?
No, because it's risky.
Yeah, it's more risky.
Yeah.
Like you could possibly have a child that won't make it to 18 mm-hmm. if you have a natural birth.
No, absolutely.
You know, there are arguments where, you know, you shouldn't do that anyway, but, you know, mm-hmm. I think eventually with that technology, that's kind of the direction we're going to move in. And also, another thing is fertility and I don't want to say the word sperm counts. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can say it.
Yeah, sperm counts, they're way down.
They are.
We're becoming more fertile as time goes on. Less fertile as time goes on.
Yeah, yeah, it's shown. Yeah, humanity in general, not just like a person. Like humanity is not not doing as well. So it makes sense to do like a birth, like a birth chamber kind of thing, like a test tube.
Yeah, if you get to a kind of situation where there's a science fiction movie called Aeon Flux, if you get to a situation where, you know, humans cannot naturally reproduce anymore, then obviously you have to have birth chambers.
Yeah. Otherwise. And someone's got to own those, right? Because here's the thing. Either the government owns the birth chambers or companies own the birth chambers. Either of those things are obviously terrible. And here's the other thing. If the government owns the birth chambers, then it's one of the two political parties. If the corporations own the birth chambers, it's still one of the two political parties.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, no matter how you slice it, we're going to get to a point, if we do the birth chamber thing, where political parties are going to literally control birthing.
Birthing.
You know, and they'll be like, ooh, the Democrats, they made a really good research. They really made a breakthrough in their research this year where they can double their birth output. That's going to really affect the 2096 election in 18 years from now or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then the Republicans come up with, like, this cool way to, like, guarantee twins, like, often or something like that.
Yeah, that's such a weird system of planning because, like, for a birthing technology, you have to plan about 20 years out, right?
Right, exactly.
But for political elections, you're planning maybe 6 months, 2 years, 4 years ahead. So there's, like, there's some really cool, not cool, but...
really wild.
There's some wild... games going on there in that kind of situation.
And it's like you're playing like a really long game. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like they would set up, like both sides would set up like AI to like kind of oversee, you know, the whole thing and like make deterministic like calculations based on
AIs are great at this shit, man.
We're going to, you know, 60 years from now when all these kids grow up, we're going to lose or we're projected to win or whatever. So you're not even playing like for the immediate future, you're playing like for 100 years in advance, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And old people are obsessed with like leaving their generation or the next generation with like the same exact values as they had. Mm-hmm. So they're just gonna hunker down and be like, I'm not gonna be alive in 100 years, but damn it, whatever political affiliation they are, damn it, that's the one we need to keep, you know, doing or whatever. Yeah. So they're gonna like want to do that.
Yeah, and that's the mindset. It's, you know, my personal history is too valuable to let it perish. So the young people must become indoctrinated with
by whatever I am part of. Yeah, yeah, which is a crazy idea. And like the more we talk about this, the more I'm starting to believe like this actually could. As depressing as it sounds, it actually could happen.
Yeah, it could.
Like I could see something like this.
For sure.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just want to talk about birth chambers because it's really depressing.
So
someone's got to own the birth chambers. That's the thing, you know. Someone's going to own it, right?
Someone has to do it, you know. Someone has to fund it.
Someone's owning the birth chambers. It's going to be political parties, or the government, which it's still a political party, or it's going to be corporations, which are going to be in the pocket. Or, well, the party's going to be in the pocket of the corporations, probably. But the corporations are going to have a favored party, too, because whatever helps them out more, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever can promise them more. So it's like, at the end of the day, it's going to be a political thing.
Here's what I like to do as a corporation who's, like, long-term strategizing about how I'm going to, you know, get, you know, this generation to do this and that generation to do that.
Yeah.
You got to make some... births like sleeper cells, like Manchurian candidates that at a certain, so you like you, they're raised Republican, but at a certain age they get turned on, they switch on, like
so this child would be born in like the Democrat house.
Yes,
right. Mm-hmm. That's what they call, we'll call them houses, like the birth centers. Yeah. the house
of blue and the house of red.
Yes, that's a great name for the sci-fi novel, House of Blue and House of Red. But anyway, so like you get born in the house, and there'd be this concept of switchers, where it's like you're born into the House of Democrats or you're born in the House of Republicans,
mm-hmm.
and you're indoctrinated. But at some point in your life, you switch because like when you're 18 or something, you like the brainwashing wears off and you switch sides. So like it happens, but it's rare, right? So with the maturing candidate kind of guy, He's raised in the House of Republicans, let's say.
Right.
When he's 18, he switches because he realizes, like...
He's programmed.
Oh, this is... No, no. We're not there yet.
Okay.
So, in 18, he switches because he realizes, like, oh, the brainwashing wore off. I'm actually a Democrat. And the Democrats are like, great, we've got a guy that switched sides. He's a great candidate for president because he can see both sides. But in reality, he's the Manchurian candidate for the other side, yeah. for the Republicans mm-hmm. all along. So then he, like, you know, they elect him, and then he just, like,
yeah, then they say the secret word, and he, like, right. that brainwashing kicks back in.
Yes,
and
exactly.
then they got him.
So maybe, yeah, he's programmed to switch, and then he's programmed to switch back when he becomes president.
Yeah. You can do it all kinds of ways. Like,
oh, yeah.
You could just
oh, yeah.
program him to switch once just to cause, like, dissent and havoc. You could have him switch twice to, you know, get him elected and then, you know, take control.
And then switch back.
Yeah.
And then they could have, like, neutral birthing chambers. Mm-hmm. You know, like the House of Grey, we can call it, where, like, these people want to be neutral, but in reality, it's, like, paid for under the table by yeah. one of the
yeah. if of the parties. Yeah, when you say that, the first thing that comes to my mind is, okay, that House of Grey, they're the lab rats. They're like... That's who you test shit on.
yes, exactly. This is where you test the Manchurian candidates. Yeah. Like, you test their programming using the House of Grey. But everyone, like, people think, like, oh, you're a House of Grey, you're neutral. Like, that's cool. Mm-hmm. But in reality, like, no, they're...
I think a House of Grey, I don't think they should be allowed to hold political office because, like, obviously you can't allow that, right? If you're a corporation.
Yeah.
To have a neutral candidate.
Yeah, because then they're neutral. Like, they don't stand for anything.
Yeah, so they seem to me kind of like they would be like a religious caste almost. Like, they're kind of like monks, even.
Interesting, yeah. yeah. Yeah, they're like, and they're not allowed to, like, they're not allowed to, like, own companies or anything like that.
They're eunuchs. Only... They cut off their genitals for, like, no reason.
Like, they don't breed anymore, but they just do it
it's
anyway.
It's a symbolic gesture.
They're there to, like, enrich the society through, like, artistic or entertainment means. Yeah. Like, they're not supposed to do anything controlling.
Right.
You know, they're not doing any political systems or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I mean, I don't love it, but I love it.
I love the idea
yeah.
of this. The House of Grey, the House of Red, and the House of Blue. This is a test bed. Anyway, this is just, I don't know, it's just stupid random thought I had sometimes. I feel like when I talk to you, I get really terrible and good ideas for dystopian science fiction.
Yeah.
And we don't really have enough dystopian science fiction. I thought we would have a lot more considering the current political climate, but, like, all the dystopian science fiction today is, like, the most boring kinds. It's like, the zombies are coming. It's like, I don't, you know... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like
that. You got to watch I Think We're Alone Now. You'll love that movie.
Okay, I need to. You told me about this. I haven't
super
seen
super good. Anyway, do you want to get to your first trivia question?
I would love to get onto the first trivia.
Okay. I apologize in advance for your trivia. They're either going to be really good or really bad.
Okay, I'm excited.
So your first question is going to be about engineering, and I'll have you choose your first lifeline.
I'm going to do engineering. I know a decent amount about it. 50-50.
Okay. The first question is, the French submarine Argonaut was designed with a blank engine, but was built with a steam and electric motor instead. So, it was originally designed with one engine, but they went with a more traditional steam and electric motor
sure.
at the end.
Okay.
So, is it either A, a wind engine... Is it B a
This is a submarine?
A submarine. Okay. Is it B a diesel engine? Is it C a nuclear engine? Or is it D a solar engine?
This is surprisingly hard. I feel like wind is stupid. If you're underwater, you're not going to get a lot of wind. Similarly, solar seems really stupid, too, because you're not going to get any sun. Well, I guess you get a little, but you're not going to get a lot. Diesel makes sense to me. You know, it's like, oh, it's diesel. Nuclear, I don't know how big the sub is. Like, if it's a big sub, maybe they did go nuclear, because some subs are powered nuclearly.
It's called the Argonaut. Maybe that means big in French. I don't actually know.
I don't know. I know it's a fancy French word. I'm going to use my 50-50.
Okay. It is either B, a diesel engine, or C, a nuclear engine.
Okay, I knew it was one of those, and this didn't help me at all. It's called the Argonaut, and what did they end up going with? Electric and steam.
And steam.
Like that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the steam makes it sound like this was not that... This was longer ago, because steam, we don't do steam anymore. You know, we don't use steam.
That's a good point.
So I feel like nuclear is probably too advanced for somebody that's using steam. So, and diesel, diesel's been around for a while. You know, diesel is a known quantity. So I think I'm going to go with diesel, final answer.
Diesel is correct.
Yes. Logic through that one pretty good, huh?
I was hoping that by putting wind and solar that I could, like, throw you off and you'd think, what, did they put a windmill above the water? Like,
that's what I imagined, like, there's a sail or something above the submarine. Which would be amazingly funny, but also kind of stupid. Do you want to get into some Reddits?
Sure.
I have some good ones for you today. And by good ones, I mean not good ones. The first one is kind of it's not philosophical, it's like a how does this work question. So, this was sent in by El Argento 23. Thank you, El Argento.
Thanks.
He asks, what happens if I don't get my computer from the repair center? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He follows this with, I noticed it was a bad idea to ask to repair it. I almost can buy a new computer for the same price. Can anything bad happen or any legal issues if I don't go to the repair center and pay for the repair? I haven't paid for the repair, but they have repaired it already.
I have a really funny story that isn't related to this. Do you mind if I tell it?
I want to hear it, okay. Though. Go ahead.
So a while back, I was locked out of my car.
Okay.
And I didn't have my wallet on me.
Sure.
But I had to unlock my car to get to my wallet.
Right.
So I called Papa Lock.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't tell him that I didn't have any money. So he came and he unlocked my car. And I tried to ask him, "Do you mind if I go get my wallet and come back?"
Oh, 'cause it wasn't even in your car?
No, it was at my house.
Oh, you had to drive to get your wallet?
But, oh, wow. Like, think about the Papa Lock guy. He's like, this guy's just trying to drive away and not pay me.
Yeah. What happened?
He said, listen, I need you to pay me right now. And I was like, I don't have my wallet. What are you going to do? He locked my car back and left me
he
there.
He did? What? Are you serious?
Yeah, he really did.
So what did you do?
I called my sister.
And then what happened?
She took me to get my wallet, and then I re-Papa Locked.
Wow. That's an amazing story.
I was so mad.
He locked you back out?
Yes.
I would have been so mad at that. I would have called Papalog and complained, like, hey, your guy locked me back.
But I couldn't pay him.
How does he have the legal authority to relock your car?
I didn't think that far into it at the time.
Okay, so run me down, like... I want to hear, like, the 2 minutes. This is the most uncomfortable part.
Mm-hmm.
The 2 minutes leading up to when he's done and after he locks your... And, like, yeah, and leading up to after he locks your car. So he's unlocking it. He's in the process, right?
Yes.
Does he finish unlocking it?
Yeah, he finished unlocking it.
He finishes unlocking it. Okay. Now, he's like, here's your bill.
And I go...
And you're like, I don't have any money.
I'm sorry, I called you.
And now, what does he say? So, like, what does he say to relock your car? Like, what did he do at that point? He's like, I'm going to have to relock your car.
That's exactly what he said, yeah.
He really said that.
He really said...
I'm going to have to relock your car.
Because you can't pay for it. Mm-hmm.
Did he throw the keys in there and, like, lock them in or something?
Yes.
No, he didn't. He seriously did that?
Yes.
You're lying to me right now. This is not actually happening.
Maybe I was taken advantage of. I don't know.
No way. So he, like, took your keys and he was like, sorry, can't help you. Throws them in and then just shuts it?
Yes.
Are you serious? I would be so mad at that. That he can't do that. You could have sued Papa Lock.
For what? I couldn't pay for it.
It doesn't matter. He was... taking your property and using it as if it was his. He can't lock your keys in your car.
But he could also probably do something to me because he performed a service for me and I kind of have to pay him for it.
Oh yeah, he could. They could definitely bill you. Like, you would be on the line for it. But I don't think he's allowed to lock your keys back in your car. Like, that's not how it works.
I think he was really mad because I think the way they make money is the number of calls they get. And if I don't pay him, he literally, like, wasted hours of his time for nothing.
Yeah. He wasn't allowed to do that.
Well, he was really mad.
That is so ridiculous that he locked your keys back in your car.
Yeah.
I'm mad at that. Like, you should have paid him, obviously. But, like, still, you can't just lock someone. Like, if I went to McDonald's and I ate a hamburger and they were like, pay. And I'm like, oh, sorry, I don't have money. They can't, like, open you up and get the hamburger back. You know what I mean? Like, they're not allowed to do that. Like, it's your, it's too late. You know, it's yours now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, like, once the transaction was completed and you haven't paid, you've got your keys back. Your car is unlocked. You own your car. He can't re-fuck up your car after he's already unlocked it. Like,
yeah. I don't know. I guess that's kind of like, so you go to get your car fixed, and they fix the dent, and you're like, I can't pay you.
And then they just, like, smash it. Like, that's not how that works. Like, they can't do that. They could take you to court for not paying, but they can't re-dent your car.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, man. That's a really good story.
I actually called a different unlocking service because I didn't want to get the same guy.
Yeah, and that would have been embarrassing. Yeah. He would have been mad at you. I hope that guy got fired for that because he shouldn't do that. I would have called and complained about that guy.
Well, I felt bad because I also did something wrong.
I mean, I know that you did, but at the same time, like, you were being honest about it. You were acting in good faith at the very least.
No, I wasn't.
He was acting in bad faith
until the very end that I couldn't pay.
That's true. Still. So what do you think this guy should do? He's got his computer. He's like, oh shit, my computer's broken. I need to take it to a repair center. Takes it to the repair center. Probably looks online and realizes, like, oh shit. You know, it would have been cheaper.
It's not worth it. Yeah.
What do you do? Well, what do you think he should do here?
What I would do is maybe try to haggle him.
You can't haggle after the fact, though. They probably quoted you a price and, like, that's it. You know what I mean?
Probably. Yeah, I think he's just screwed. If he wants his computer back, he's going to have to pay. But, you know, if he has his taxes and all that on his computer.
No, no, no. No, he doesn't want his computer back. He's asking if he doesn't, like, basically, he's asking, it sounds like, he doesn't care if he ever sees his computer again.
Oh.
He just wants a new computer.
Just leave it. Never call them again.
Just leave it? That's what you would do?
Yeah, they'll sell his computer.
Like, he doesn't want his computer. He realizes it's too much money to repair, but they've already repaired it. So you think he could just leave it there? He's asking if he could get into legal trouble with this.
Maybe, but, like, are they really going to pursue him for, like, what's probably $400 or something?
Yeah, like $500 or something. Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would leave it, too. I would definitely leave it.
Well, let's go back to the car example. Let's say you, like, really messed up your car, and you take it to the body shop, and you're like, just go ahead and fix it. Go ahead, I'll pay. Don't worry. Just fix it.
And then they do.
And then you're like, ugh, that's a little more than I was expecting.
And then they just walk away. Well, they would sell your car in that situation.
I mean, like, what happens, though? Because that's a...
No, but do they? Because you still have your title.
Yeah, they can't, like, transfer all that stuff on their own.
You're right.
That's more than a computer.
That's a gray area. I don't know what the law is on that. They could probably file for, like, you abandoning your vehicle, and then they could claim ownership of it or something.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's a pain in the ass for them, though. Like, that's a lot of work.
Yeah. They'll probably be mad as hell.
There's so much paperwork you have to do to transfer ownership of a vehicle. It's, like, if you didn't go through the proper channels, like, it's a shit ton of paperwork. They probably would not want to bother with that. It's such a pain in the ass.
Yeah. I know you know from experience.
I do. So, like, what would they do if you abandoned your vehicle at a repair shop after they repaired it? I guess they would have to, like, claim ownership and sell it, because that's all they could do.
Well, like, they have all your contact information for sure, because they have your VIN number, your tag, they've got probably your title in the glove box.
What are they going to do, like, accost you about it or something?
I have no idea.
They'd probably bill you for it. Like, they'd probably try to collect it.
Yeah. Bill. Oh, what they probably do is they call a tow shop, get your car towed, and then send you a bill.
Oh, yeah. Then they bill you for that. Yeah. And then they just keep billing you until you paid.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what that would happen.
Oh, did you? I was going to say, with the computer, though, just leave it. You know, like, your title's not in computer.
It's not worth their time to, like, do anything.
Yeah.
They would just sell it. Next question. How can I get ill quick? I don't know why they want to get ill quickly. Maybe they want to miss some event, but they want to know how to get ill quick. Do you have any advice for that?
I'm not sure. Do you have any advice?
I would eat some really shady food.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Food poisoning is an easy way to get ill.
Yeah.
Relatively easy to do. You just find some shady food and eat.
Try to find like a food truck that has like pad thai, but it's $3 for some reason.
Yeah, it's like really cheap. Yeah. And it doesn't seem like their grill heats it up enough, you know, like the meat, like a little funky, you know.
I mean,
you don't really know if it's chicken.
Like, if you're real serious about it, you could just like eat a pound of raw chicken.
That's true. You could. Yeah. You'd probably get salmonella. That'd be a good way. Yeah, for sure.
You might die, but
yeah. Goes along with this question. I'm trying to damage my eyesight, but how long do I have to do it for?
What?
This question was asked by Is a Boy. I'm trying to damage my eyesight, but how long do I have to do it for? Basically, I want glasses, but none of that fake shit. I want to wear glasses that I actually need. So I started to damage my eyes by wearing glasses not meant for me. Every night, I look at my phone screen with brightness full, and I hold it really close to my eyes while wearing glasses not meant for me. Then, after that, I spend an hour or two watching the TV while wearing glasses. My question is, how long do I have to do this until I will notice the results, or if this even works? I know this is quite stupid. Thanks.
Well, if he's looking for a serious answer, probably about 20 years, because that's how long it took me.
To damage your eyesight? Yeah. Is your eyesight damaged?
Yeah, I need glasses.
Really?
I just don't have vision coverage.
Oh, I didn't know you needed glasses now. You've never needed glasses
before. Nope.
So, have you got your vision checked?
No, but...
But you just know. You can.
Yeah, here's the trouble for me. If I'm reading something and I look up, everything is a mess. But eventually it'll kind of normalize, but I'm still bad at seeing far away.
Yeah, I gotcha. Mm-hmm. So it's like you got nearsightedness going on pretty hardcore.
Not hardcore, but a little bit, yeah.
Well, obviously. So 20 years, huh? Yeah, but you are 20 years of, like, not great vision or not great practices. This guy's going, like, hardcore trying to mess it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you sat too close to the TV, blah, 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 for 20 years. But this guy's, like, he's going out of his way to screw
with it. Yeah, I never wore glasses I didn't need, so that's probably accelerating it for him.
So maybe he'll do this in a quarter of the time. Maybe it'll be, like, 5 years.
Oh, here's an idea. He should get LASIK, but, like, not fixing
LASIK. First LASIK.
What do you do for that? So you go to the LASIK people and you're like, hey. And they're like, oh, what do you want, 20/20? You're like, no, screw up my eyes real good. Like, really fuck them up. They're like, are you sure you want that? And you're like, yep, that's what I want.
You got to go on that website that's like ratemydoctor.com and find the guy that's been sued like 20 times.
Go to the worst one. Yeah. Go to the one that people review and they're like, my vision got worse. Like, go to that guy. You know, you can get it for like a 50% discount on Thursdays or something. It's like $2.99, you know, with a coupon.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the guy you want to go to. Yeah.
Refer someone and get a free procedure.
Get a free eye procedure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know why you'd want to damage your eyesight. This guy wants to wear glasses, though. I don't know why anyone would want to wear glasses. Like, I, as a glasses wearer, like, yeah, I'm good. You know?
They look cool, but you do have to wear them all the time.
Sure, but you have to wear them all the time. I mean, if I didn't have to wear glasses, I wouldn't want to wear glasses, you know? But since I have to wear glasses, I want to wear glasses that look good. But it's only because I wear glasses.
Yeah.
Like, it's only because I have to wear glasses, you know? If I didn't have to, I wouldn't do it. And the reason some people ask me, why don't you wear contacts? Because contacts are like a huge, huge pain in the ass.
Yeah, you have to stick stuff in your eyes. That's not cool.
Yeah, and you have to clean them. It's such a pain in the ass. Glasses, just throw them on your face. But I don't know. I don't know why anyone would have to wear glasses. Like, yeah, maybe they're stylish, but also they're annoying sometimes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What I would recommend to that guy is just get a cool pair of sunglasses.
That's what people have been wearing, cool sunglasses for 100 years. Like, it's not. It never goes out of style. There you go.
You know? There's your solution. Stop damaging your eyes.
Stop damaging your eyes. Get cool sunglasses, and there you go. Okay, last question I want to do for Reddit, because this one is incredible.
Oh, do you want to do a trivia first?
Yeah, let's do another trivia first.
So everybody knows, we're going to get to the incredible trivia questions, not Reddit questions, so stick around.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, second category is history.
Okay. I'm going to choose Monty Hall. No, I'm going to choose 10-second Bing.
10-second Bing. Yep. All right, your question is, which was the first country to land a spacecraft on the far side of the moon?
Okay.
Was it A, the USA, mm-hmm. B, Russia, C, China, or D, Australia?
So, far side of the moon, that's the dark side of the moon. The side of the moon is facing away from us.
Yes.
I mean, I know US was the first to be on the moon. I don't know if we landed on the dark side, though. First, Russia was pretty close, right? I think they landed on the moon after us at some point. I don't actually know if that's true. China and Australia are the other two?
Yes.
I don't see Australia going to the moon. Like, it's been done before.
Yeah.
Like, then 30 years later, they're like, we did it! Finally! Goodbye, mate! We got to the moon! It's like, great, we did that like 30 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, China, I could see doing it because it's a show of power. You know, it's just like, oh, we have the moon now. You know. I'm going to use my Bing. You see my logic?
Yeah, though? I do see your logic.
I think I would lean towards Russia because I think they would see that as like, oh, America got to the easy part of the moon. We made it. You know what I mean? We made it to the far side of the moon.
They can't do that. They never did that.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't done that yet. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right.
I mean, I don't know.
Ready? Yeah. 3, 2, 1, Bing.
Country made it to far side of moon.
5 seconds.
I misspelled that.
2, 1, burr.
Okay. Oh, wow. This was really recent.
Yes, it was.
Holy shit. Okay. the answer is China.
Mm-hmm.
Final answer. China, final answer.
China is correct.
Yes! This was 6 days ago.
Yeah, dude.
Holy crap. I thought this was like in the 70s or something.
Yeah, this was in Wikipedia News today. They landed something on the far side of the moon, and apparently one's ever done that.
Crazy. That's crazy. How did it take us till 2019 to land on the far side of the moon?
Here's why, and it's exactly the logic you were saying. It's, all right, they already landed there. Like, who wants to do that?
It's like, no one cares about that. But I was saying, with China is a show of power, and that's exactly what it is. It's just like, yeah, we're going to do it because we're China. Look at that shit.
Far side of the moon. USA never did that.
Boom. It's harder to get to the far side. Boom. We got you, you know. And Russia probably would have done it if they could, but whatever. That's really funny that it was like 6 years ago that this happened. Oh, that's great.
You know, it's unlikely, but until 6 days ago, there might have been like something back there.
Oh, that's you've really ruined that for me just now.
Right?
Because now there's no mystery anymore.
Yeah, I think about that a lot.
Oh, that sucks. Because I didn't know that we didn't go to the far side of the moon. I thought we had. But how cool would it have been me to discover one day, like, oh, no one's ever been to the far side of the moon yet.
Yeah.
The dark side yet. And then I would have been like, oh, maybe there's something over there.
It's like that Pink Floyd album. It's like, they're in
love. Yeah, it's some groovy, spacey shit. But now you look at that up and it's just like, oh, yeah, China was there. It's the same. It's just the moon.
Yeah. Something I think about is... up until, you know, pretty recently, like, what, 50 years or something, we didn't know that there weren't aliens on Mars.
We didn't.
Like, every science fiction writer, like Isaac Asimov, Philip K. Dick, assumed they all thought there were people up there.
It sucks. Part of the, like, the high-tech generation we're in is there, like, no mysteries anymore. We've talked about this on the show
before. Yeah.
It, like, really bothers me, though. It's like, there's nothing to, like, think about.
Yeah. There are mysteries, but they're all way too complicated and scary. Like,
yeah. Like, either they're really depressing to think about, or they're so complex that you have to have, like, a degree in, like, 20 things to even comprehend how to begin to unravel them, you know?
There's nothing just as simple as, you know, oh, that planet that's in our solar system might be people there. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Bigfoot might exist, or, you know, I don't know, random other things.
Bigfoot.
That annoys me. Bigfoot doesn't exist, but he could, potentially. I just want a really good mystery in my life.
Me too.
We've talked about this too. I would pay someone to make me one. Like, you've seen the game, yeah, right? That's a great movie. I would want that, but like a mystery service. So like, they don't tell me that it's fake, but it is, and they just like give it to me, and then I'm just like, whoa, I need to solve this. Yeah. And like, I call you up, and then we like have long conversations about it.
Yeah, maybe I get it for your birthday, kind of like in the game, and I don't tell you.
Exactly. Exactly. You don't tell me. And then I'm just like embroiled in this, and it's like really cool, you know? Yeah. And then maybe later I find out it's fake, but only after I solve it.
Would you be mad at me if I did that?
No, I would not be mad.
You wouldn't be mad if I like led you on this like crazy chase, and at the end I was like, I'm sorry, it was fake, but it was fun.
Nope, I would not be mad in any way. That would be so fun. I'd be like, thank you for giving me something to do. Because life is so boring when you know everything, you know? It's like when all the information is right there at your fingertips at all times, it's boring to like... You know, it's boring because it's like, oh, I wonder what that. Oh, someone's figured that out. I wonder about this. Oh, someone's figured that out. This is boring. Yeah. You know? It's so much more fun to not know because you can think about all the possibilities. Yeah. You know, at least for me.
And there's something about like the way you and me think is when we come up with theories, they're just so wild and just could never be true and crazy and awesome.
But they could. They can never be true, but they could be true. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, there's a very small likelihood that they are true. It's probably not, but it's cool to think that it's cool to imagine that they could possibly be there.
No one can say that they're not true.
Yeah, you can't prove it. Yeah, if you led me on a wild goose chase, I would be fine with it. You don't even have to tell me at the end that it was fake. You could just pretend that it was real the whole time and never tell. Like, I would. That's fine. I don't care. I'm giving you full, complete allowance to do that. Here's the thing, though. If you ever bring up to, like, some weird mystery to me now, I'm gonna think it's like a fake.
No, I would,
because you just told me
it's actually this. It would be against my principles to lead you on that kind of chase.
You gotta get somebody else to do it.
Yeah, see, I don't know. That's still against my principles, though. You can't have someone like go commit a crime for you.
It's not even be a crime.
It's a crime to my sensibilities.
Here's the thing. You're gonna have to find a real mystery
exactly
out in the world and bring it to me. So there you go. Reddit user Y Yummy. Oh God, I can't say this name.
What was yummy?
No, nothing. Reddit user asks: is there a gamer weeb dating service?
Jeez.
And then the thing underneath it says, asking for a friend. just asking for a friend. Just to see if there's one. Gamer Weeb dating service. Well, do you think there's one?
They've got one for farmers.
I would bet money there's a Gamer Weeb dating service. It's called, like, Weebo or something. You know, Weeb... Weeb match.
Oh, here's the domain. It's weeb.io.
Oh, Weeb.io. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And you go on there, and they have a whole section. Like, instead of, like, interests, like dating, it's like, what anime do you like? Yeah.
And what manga do you read? And what's your favorite video game of all time? Those are the three categories.
Yeah. And there should be message boards, and the message boards are Kingdom Hearts,
Naruto,
and Bleach.
And Bleach. And there's one, so this is like the like edgy, shady part of the dating site, because you have to have that in the gamer circle. Sure. There's one for vampires.
And they're like role play on that one.
Because of course they do.
I love how Kingdom Hearts is your first example. It's so perfect that I don't think I could come up with a better example than that. And then there's like a general forum, but those are like the four main sub forums. Yeah. Kingdom Hearts, Naruto, Bleach, and maybe Bleach is too like mid-2000s. I don't know. There's some other anime.
Yeah, whatever they watch these days. I don't actually
know. Whatever they watch these. Naruto's like, you know, that's always going to be a thing, but I don't know what anime people watch.
We should make this. We'd make a killing.
JoJo, maybe? The JoJo's Bizarre Adventure or whatever?
I think that's... I don't think that's for this audience.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you mean. Popular anime. Let's see. This is a Google.
Why did you just... You're on a list now.
I don't know. I mean, Dragon Ball Z, that's too...
No, normal people like that.
Yeah.
What about...
Cowboy Bebop, see normal people like that, too.
Do you have any, like little girl high school 16 or, like...
Yeah, it would be something like that. Like
high school...
High school something. Oh, My Hero Academia.
Isn't that one? Sounds about right.
That's like about high school people that have superpowers or something. Yeah, that's it.
So those are your forums.
Those are your forums. Kingdom Hearts, Naruto, My Hero Academia, and vampires, which they role play in.
And instead of interests, you select your various anime favorites. And maybe... Okay, so you know, on different dating sites, I don't know this, but do they have like a personality thing that like grades you on like five spokes or whatever?
Yeah, they usually have stuff like that.
So yeah, they give you the five radial spoke rating system.
I love this radial spoke.
That's like you're this much gamer, you're this much weeb.
What are the other three?
I don't know. You have to have five.
Yeah, you do have to have five. Gamer, weeb. What would be another...
Otaku? Is that weeb?
That's kind of Japanese culture obsessed, so that could be... I don't know. I feel like that's kind of a different connotation these days, so you could do
okay.
that. You could run with that, maybe. Manga?
Manga? Yeah, that's not anime.
Even... to these people, it's not, right? To, like, me and you, like, it's the
all
same
anime. It's all anime.
And then one would be
there's
like,
not enough gaming stuff.
Yeah, there needs to be another
game. Figurines, collectibles or something.
Collectibles, yes. Collectibles. But that's only one gaming spoke then. And like four anime ones.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine.
Maybe there's JRPGs, maybe. Uh-huh. And then maybe. Collectibles. And then, I don't know what they do. Like...
Anime and manga are one thing, unless you want them to
be. They can be separate.
You're like, I don't know what these people do. I don't know what they do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Anyway, you take your personality test, and it'll give you the anime character that you're the most similar with, right?
Oh my god, that's perfect. No, this is, you've cracked this completely.
Yeah, and it gives you the spoke
rating.
And
then that anime character is your profile.
Of course.
Picture. Because then I go on, let's say I'm a girl, I'm looking for a guy, and my anime character is Asuka from Evangelion.
Your age is
so
showing.
I'm looking for a Shinji, right? I'm looking for my Shinji out there, and I get matched for that. So it like matches you based on your anime character's pairings, like in anime. Oh my god.
That's brilliant. And you know what? This is like, okay. So This is taking it far, but nerds have trouble. Like people that visit this site will have trouble initiating conversation. This gives you a good starting point, so that you're Asuka, I'm Shinji. Isn't it
Shinji.
Cool that
That's
you
so,
know
what a coincidence.
That gives you a starting place to discuss something.
Yep. And then you probably both know that anime, so you can start talking about it immediately. Yeah. You know? And that's your open. That's your opening.
This is actually brilliant social engineering. Like
we bio. We are really good. You know, I've noticed we're really good at social engineering. If either of us were more terrible as a human being, we could be really successful. But I think neither of us are like evil enough for that to be the case. You know what I mean? But we bio. That's a good idea. Making you an anime character is like, oh, the piece de resistance of that. It's like you're assigned an anime character and then you're matched based on that. It's just so... People would sign up. People would pay $100 for this, like, seriously, for this website. Yeah. And then you can have, like, a list of anime you're currently watching.
Of course, yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm watching blah, blah.
That gives you another kickoff point for when you meet your match.
Yeah. Oh, I see you were watching blah. What episode are you on? I'm like, oh, I'm just started season 3. And they're like, oh, that's a good one. That's when blah, blah, blah does the blah, blah, blah maneuver. And you're like, yep, it is.
Shojin Maguro meets Kiki.
All right, we should do the last trivia.
It's about sports.
Okay. Sports. I'm going to use my
Okay. What do world champion darts player Michael Von Gerwen and Professor X from X-Men have in common?
Okay.
Is it A, they are both professors? Is it B, they are both bald? Is it C, they both have a disability? Or is it D, they both have telekinesis?
I'm gonna guess it's not telekinesis. What's the guy's name?
Michael Von Gerwen. He's the current.
And what does he do? He's a pole vaulter.
He's the current world champion darts player.
Darts player. Mm-hmm. Okay. For some reason, I heard pole vaulter, and then you said Professor X. I was like, I hope they're not both in a wheelchair because that'd be really hard for a pole vaulter.
He's really good.
He's really good pole vaulter. Okay, so they could both have a disability. They could both be bald. They could both have telekinesis, or they could both
be professors.
What was the other one? Be professors. I could see him being a professor.
Darts isn't that hard, right? Like, you can have a day job.
Yeah, you can have a day job. Dart play. You can be a dart player on the side, I feel like. I'm going to use my money hole. I'm going to lock in telekinesis, because I don't think he has telekinesis.
He might.
I don't think so. All right,
they're either both bald, or they both have telekinesis.
Okay, I'm going to go with bald.
Finally. You're correct.
Yes! You threw telekinesis in there thinking I would choose it, but I know better. I know better than telekinesis. I wish he was a professor. That'd be cool, though. Like a professor that's also a dart player. Darts is kind of hard. It's surprisingly hard. It's one of those games you play and you're like, oh, this is probably really easy. And then you throw it and you're like, oh, I'm really bad at this.
Yeah. You know, I do.
Are you ready for the last Reddit we have for you?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Oh, this is so depressing. We're not.
Let's nail it.
It's so bad. I can't do it. Okay, I can do it. When was the last time you were truly happy?
Jesus.
I had this one like a couple weeks ago, and it came up on Reddit again. And I was like, all right, it's a sign to do it again.
Oh, man. Okay.
This is so
depressing. Is it like momentary? Is fleeting happiness work?
It's truly happiness. Like, you feel like content with yourself.
I felt really...
Maybe...
I was going to say, I felt really good when I went camping in October.
Let's say it's not momentary, but it's not like your whole like life is happy. It's like for a period of time that lasts longer than like a couple hours. You know what I mean? So maybe like a couple days or like a week. You know what I mean? Like a semi-extended period of time. You see what I'm saying?
Serious answer. It would have to be in October when I went camping with my parents and my cousin and my sister. And she got engaged during the... this is way too much information, but...
That's a lot of information. That's
whatever. Cool, it was super cool, and I had a great time.
That sounds fun.
How about you?
I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know. Maybe when we went camping before that. Why is camping a thing that we're revealing?
Yeah, dude. I had a great time when we went camping. I forgot all my troubles.
You go back to nature, yeah. I guess. That's the thing, right? It's like a thing. I don't know. My problem is I'll be happy for like a moment, and then I'll be like, oh yeah, this is bad, and this is bad, and this is bad. This is bad.
It's hard to get out of.
You know what I mean? It is. It's hard to forget everything and just kind of like roll with stuff. And it takes a lot to like snap me out of that, you know? But when it does, it's really cool.
That's so. That Japanese Bushido philosophy that I wish I could incorporate more into my life.
What's that? Really quick before we're at
really quick, it's you know, you have to be like water. You just have to roll with everything. Oh, you don't like fight against stuff, but if stuff tries to fight you, man, like, oh, you're gonna mess it up.
Yeah. Get it. So just like go with the flow
and do your best while going with the flow. Don't try too hard.
Do your best. Yeah, and like accept the things that you can't change. Like that's
always what it is, be you know? Perfectly efficient. But never try harder than you need to.
Yeah. I read an interesting thing, and I'm interested in this Japanese philosophy because this is kind of similar. Instead of saying good luck in Japan, they say do your best, which I thought is a really cool concept because they're not saying like, oh, good luck. They're not saying like, oh, you might get lucky, you might not. They're saying you might have bad luck, you might have good luck, but no matter what, try as hard as you can to like do your best job. Yeah. So it's less about like they're focusing less on the random chance and more about like the personal like like are you fulfilled with how well you approach the situation regardless of the outcome kind of thing.
It's more like you have to focus on things that you can control rather than on things that you can't control.
Yeah, like did you do a good job? Did you try your hardest? Regardless of if you failed or succeeded, are you happy with like what you tried to do there? You know what I mean? And that's, I don't know, that's a nice philosophy. With that note, who's our sponsor today, Batson?
Our sponsor today is Snarky Shark brand fish snacks.
Mmm. When you're in the mood for something fishy to snack on.
Snarky Shark.
Choose Snarky Shark. Remember when you're feeling like a mint. I don't know. I have a mint with me right now. Don't forget.
Go drink a pint of beer.
Don't drink a pint of beer. That's been episode 110 of the Time Bat Show. I'm one of your hosts.
Time Bat Snacks.
Everyone have a good night. Drive safely. Bye.